Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show. Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down the eastern seaboard. I've got my diesel wound up and she's running like never before. There's a speed zone ahead, but all right, I don't see a cop inside. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight. I got 10 Ford gears and a Georgie overdrive. I'm passing little white lines and my eyes are roving wide. Just past a Jimmy and a white, I've been passing everything in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm gonna make it home tonight.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's, Redneck and I's Radio. We're here live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You call in at 515-602-9731 to be a part of the conversation. You just at one. We're talking about just news and information and just, you know, what's going on out there on the road. All things trucking and then some is what we call it. And don't forget to go check out our website, redneckandeyes.com. Thank one of our great sponsors, and that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out at dpfregeneration.com or give them a call at 800-634-3010. You know, we're also on Facebook Live and a YouTube Live tonight, and trying to get out there. And everybody, if you could, please go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. And if you're on Facebook right now, if you can jump off and go on YouTube and check us out on YouTube, we really appreciate that. What we're doing is it's been great, and we want you to check out the videos and then comment on the videos and share them and let us know. We're talking about, you know, life on the road. We're talking about dealing with regulations or dealing with what's going on the road as far as, like, either driving or the trucking issues. Our most watched video on YouTube right now, every day, it's always watched several, like, I mean, maybe over 100 times a day the video gets shared or watched. And that's just me explaining the interlocking differential, the power divider on the big trucks. And it's amazing that, you know, I wanted to make that video because I knew that in truck driving school, they never talked about it at all. And then when you're in a truck with a trainer, if you're in a big carrier and you're in the truck with the trainer's like, just, you know, we don't mess with that unless we get stuck. And that's like the worst thing that you can do. Don't hit that switch until you get stuck. You want to hit it before you get stuck. That's one of the main things we talk about on there. The second watch video that is on there every day getting a lot of views is just me explaining the lease purchase. The lease purchase is one of the things that we were stressing about, how, you know, a lot of people are just totally against it, and we are too. I mean, we don't like it. We don't think that it's a good thing for drivers to get into. But the problem is that, you know, a lot of times you just can't talk people out of things, you know, when, especially when they've got the opportunity to get a new truck or maybe to make a little bit more money in their eyes, you know, those kind of things. So what we do is just try to explain to people that, hey, the rules with the truck, with the lease purchase, there, a lot of the rules and a lot of the contract stipulations are at the benefit of the leaser. Is that what it all is? The person that's leasing you the truck, whether it be the lease company, which might be or the same as the carrier you're working for. And that's who it's going to be benefiting. And the lease purchase hardly ever is going to be either equal or to the benefit of the driver. And we just like to explain those in our YouTube videos. So if you could, go check those out, share them, comment on them, tell us what you think. And if we need to make some changes, we will. Also, we got videos talking to four-wheelers. We try to explain to four-wheelers what truckers are doing out there when we're driving. Space management, turning, following distance, getting on and off the highway, stuff like that. So we really are proud of those. And if you want to go over there and check them out, we really appreciate everybody doing that. And like I said, that's our YouTube channel, Redneck and Eyes, just like it says, Redneck and Eyes. And you can get the link to that at redneckandeyes.com. And we got all the stuff going on at redneckandeyes.com. You can check that out. That's our website. And like I said, we're here, 515-602-9731, every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And we're also doing Sunday show. Now, the Sunday show, we kind of stay relaxed, and it's a little longer, so it's a little slower paced. And we might be talking about a few things, and we all rant and rave a lot of times. You know, you got to vent. It's always healthy to vent. I think my stress levels have gone down since I started this podcast because I'm able to just vent, just get out here and just say, you know what, ticks me off. You know, and that's one of the great things about it. But also, too, you know, it's one of the things where we try to make a positive change in the industry as far as, like, trucking goes. And we try to get on truck drivers, you know. I remember going to the truck show. We were talking to people, and they're like, what sets you apart? And I think what sets us apart is we're one of the few organizations that can point out and saying, hey, it's not just these people, but it's us. You know, we got to change the way we do things. And we got to stop being part of the problem as well. And I think as the trucking industry, the truck drivers, you know, we have to be willing to make changes ourselves and adapt ourselves. So we got to do that. And a lot of the times, and one of the other videos that we talk about is the driver shortage and how it's not just the carrier's fault, but it's also the driver's fault. We need to quit jumping from carrier to carrier because we're chasing all of those great benefits or quick, you know, bonuses or whatever. You know, the turnover rate, it's not just the carriers treating drivers bad, but it's the drivers chasing that easy money, you know, and willing to give up. Like, you're burning bridges trying to chase that easy money, and next thing you know, you're like, you know what, I should go back to that other company. Well, they're done with you, you know, kind of thing. So we think about that too, you know, try to make changes with that. But we try to pull out, you know, what's going on in the news. One of the things that I wanted to make sure everybody knew about, and that was posed rule by the FMCSA. If you go to regulations.gov, let's see what it says today. Maybe it trended more. And, it says an error has occurred. Now, what the hell? Oh, you know what it is? And there it goes. You go down here, and, of course, EPA has done a lot of stuff where they've introduced a lot of rules. A new rule got introduced, proposed rule for the EPA. Looks like the comments are not due until June 21st. And let's see. There it is right there. It's like the 1, 2, 3, 4, fifth one down. It's Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, parts and accessories necessary for safe operations, speed limiting devices. Comments due on June 3rd, 2022. And if you click on that, and it'll pull up everything you need to know about what's going on to that to make comments. And it's proposed rule, and it's in the comment stage, and they're allowing for public comments. And you can go on there and make comments. And it's they're going to introduce a rule for speed limiting devices. And I'll just tell you right now, even if you do want to comment, which I mean I encourage everybody to do, I don't know, you know, this is kind of the first time that I've actually pulled this up to see how many comments are on there. So right now it says that we're at 5.46 thousand, so 5,400, almost 5,500 comments have been made. And let me go back here. Let's see something here. June 3rd, here's a Security and Exchange Commission. That's due on May 20th, so that's like next week. What I wanted to do is pull it up and say how many, and there's no comments, or there's not anything posted. Tell me how many comments there are. What I was trying to do, see, here's one that's due May 16th for the EPA, and, oh, there's only 140 comments. So, hey, you know what? Maybe we're not doing such a bad deal as far as commenting on there. Wage and hourly, wage and hour division, wage and hour division, updating the Davis-Bacon-related act. Oh, now there's 32,000 comments on this one. For this proposed rule, Department of Labor proposes an amend regulation issued under the Davis-Bacon and related acts that set forth rules for the administration to enforcement of the Davis-Bacon labor standards that apply to the federal and federally assisted construction projects. As the first comprehensive regulatory review in 40 years, the department believes that the revision and the regulation And it says addresses electronic components, submit comments. No, it didn't say. I mean, it doesn't. I don't even know what they're doing. It does. It's like a bunch of gobbledygook. And yeah, there's nothing on here that tells me exactly what that is. But there's 32,000 comments. I would like to see that. This is says. Well, wait a minute. Let's see. This is up in 4 days. So in 4 days, I mean, and it's supposed to be at least, I guess it's at least 30 days, and they've got 32,000, and it's over in 4 days. So we might be on pace to do that. Fish and Wildlife, endangered and threatened wildlife and plants, draft recovery plan for the Mexican wolf second revision. Oh, there's 8,900 comments on that one, and it's due in 3 days. So that's not too bad. I'd like to be up in the 40,000, 50,000 comment range. That'd be kind of good. I was just trying to compare what is our comments in relation to all the other proposed rules and their comments. And it looks like that we're doing pretty good. We're not, it's not like, you know, but I'd like to get more. You know, there's 21 days left and it's about speed limit. And like I said, and there are about 5,500 comments on here. And I'd like to see everybody comment on it. And I'd like to see what everybody has to say and everything. So, each comment pulled up, it looks like no comments have been made since yesterday, but you never know. Like I said, we'll keep sharing it. In fact, where's the button? There it is. Pull it up here. I'm tweeting it out now on the Twitter. You on the Twitter? Let's see. Yeah. Speed limiting devices on big trucks. Comment. There we go. And I sent it out on our Twitter, and I'll keep posting it to everything else. But share that link and see how that goes. But we got to keep it going. But other than that, I think we're just going to keep on doing things and hanging on to what we got going on here right now. And I want everybody to make sure you go over there and comment. I appreciate everybody doing that. And let's keep that rolling along. Boom, boom, boom. There we go. So yeah, go comment at regulations.gov, and it's the speed limiting devices. It's scroll down. You'll see it on there on the website, and you can leave a comment. You don't even have to put your name or anything. It can be anonymous. So leave a comment and let them know what you're thinking. Appreciate everybody doing that. Go check out our website, renekinize.com. Like, don't forget our great sponsor, and that's DPF Regeneration. Go ahead and start this here. And that's DPF Regeneration. You can check them out, dpfregeneration.com. You know, GPF Regeneration, they're the ones where you overnight your filter, your particulate filter, you overnight it to them, they clean it, and they're super clean lab. It's not just like a warehouse or a shop that's got dirty equipment in it. It's a clean lab. And you overnight it to them, they clean it, and they overnight it back to you. Or they got other stuff you can do. You know, they're open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and on Saturday as well, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. And you can give them a call at 800-634-3010. Check them out at dpfregeneration.com. All those times are Eastern, by the way. And we think when you talk to DPF, make sure you thank them for supporting Red Echonized, because we really do appreciate them. So we're going to roll along here. Like I said, this is Friday, and it's Friday the 13th. So good luck to everybody. All right, now, Red Echonized Radio.
Through the middle of the night unknown, it won't let me go. I'm in Nashville, cowboy, born to run underneath the stars. They don't mind too my long way hard. Sometimes late at night, I see your picture by the dashboard light. It takes me where I'd like to be, wrapped up in a blanket there, pulling ribbons from your hair and your kiss. Girl, that's what I need.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Oh, you like the way that sounds?
Hey, everybody. Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Eyes, Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. It's every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. Go check us out at redneckandeyes.com. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. And don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're on YouTube Live right now, streaming live, and we're also on Facebook Live. And if you're on Facebook, if you see us on Facebook, go over there and subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't done already, because we really appreciate everybody doing that, subscribing to our YouTube channel. We're hoping to get that going really good, and we're trying to put out more videos on that. Of course, it's about the show, you know, and that's where we hope to be, is on YouTube. And of course, YouTube, you know, if enough people watch us over there, then YouTube will start giving us money, and we put it into the organization where we can do more things. Like, what we're planning on doing is, we've got sponsors that helped us be at the truck show and everything. And of course, everybody that knows us, our plan was to be at the truck show, and we're going to be at the truck show there. And we do what we always do, which is set up in the parking lot, throw up a tent. We got electricity. We got heat. We got food, cooking. We got entertainment, music, all that kind of good stuff. And this year we just didn't do that because the truck show says, yeah, we don't want you doing that. And we're like, well, you know, we really, people seem to enjoy it. And they go, yeah, no, no. And even the sponsors of the parking lot, you know, once we get there and we see the sponsors, they, first off, years ago, we knew that every year that the TAs, what is it called, TA Petro parking lot, and they would throw up a tent, and they would have the showers, and they would have people there changing tires and all that. And so one of the years that we were planning on trying to be bigger with a bigger tent and everything, and they said, no, you can't do that. And they said, you have to have sponsors, or you have to sponsor it. And we're like, well, yeah, we'll sponsor it, but we don't have any money, so let's see if we can see somebody help us. So we actually contacted TA to say the TA says, you know, we'll say, hey, you know, we're at the parking lot, and you guys are at the parking lot, and you guys do some things, and we do some things, and you guys don't really serve any food or anything, but we do, so how about you help us out, and maybe we can sit up there and serve food. Well, next thing you know, we get a phone call from the truck show saying, don't do that. Don't contact people. And that kind of like ticked us off. So we started doing our thing anyway. And again, they kept saying, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You need sponsors. So this year we went back to the truck show and we had a booth and we wanted to set up, but they told us we couldn't. So we didn't. And then we got to the parking lot, and this year Werner had thrown up a big tent and they had brought some special stuff and all that. And they served food on Friday only. And they were very disappointed, they said, after everything went down. You know, I went over there and I found the people that were doing it. And I said, so how'd everything go? And go, oh, man, that was crap. That food was nasty. And they were like, well, you know, we wanted to do it, but they told us we couldn't. They said, well, we wanted you here. He goes, you know, one of the guys, like, said, I've been here before and I've seen you guys and I was expecting you to be here. And I said, yeah, we were here. We just can't do anything. They won't let us. And they're like, yeah, we, he goes, why is that? You know, and I said, they don't like us. So We're done. We're not doing it no more. We're going to do our own thing. So now we're in the works of doing our own truck show, starting our own truck show, the Redneck and Eyes version of a truck show for the truckers, not for the sponsors, not for the corporate powers, not for all of the wealthy carrier owners that want to show off their trucks that they paid a lot of money for. No, we want the truckers. We want the truckers that work on their trucks, that shine their trucks, and the truck drivers that, work their trucks and make money off of their trucks, and maybe even the truckers that do other things, like maybe they make stuff or they service stuff or they invented some stuff, they need to come out and they need to show off their stuff, and we're going to make sure that they can do it. And that's one of the things that we plan on doing is we're going to – it's going to be for the truckers and the truckers and their families. That's what the truck show is going to be about. So that's what we're doing. And we'll be at some other truck shows, you know, some, and that's the other thing too. We decided, hey, you know what? There are so many small truck shows that care about the truckers more than the big, you know, Louisville truck show. We're not part of that no more. We're not going to do it. We're not even going. And more, you know, over the years, a lot of people are like, you know, hey, why don't you come to Louisville? No, I've been there once and I'll never go again. It's stupid. And I'm like, you know what? It took me almost 10 years to figure that out, when it took people only 1 or 2 years to figure that out. So yeah, we're done with it. And we're going to do our own thing. We're going to make our own truck show. We're going to go to the smaller truck shows, the ones that actually care about the drivers. And that's what we're going to be doing. And we hope everybody joins along with that. So stay tuned. Go to, you know, like all of our social media accounts. We appreciate all that. Go to our website, redneckandeyes.com. You can put in an email address, and when we get information, we send out an email, you know, and stuff like that. So we're going to be doing that, and we're going to be getting on it. You know, and it's one of those things where more stuff's got to be done. And so yeah, we're going to be doing that. So one of the things I talked about a little earlier was the comment period. Well, first off, you know, before we go anywhere, I want to tell everybody, make sure you go and check out one of our sponsors, and that's Trucker Tools. The app for truckers. You can check them out. TruckerTools.com is a website which explains, you know, it's got a good breakdown of what all they do and everything. You know, they do the load tracking and load booking, kind of like, you know, all the others that have that kind of load board kind of thing. And they also do the stuff where you can route plan and you can find the truck stops and the fuel stops, stuff like that. And they even have a little button on the app where you can just look for Walmarts. That's all you got. They even have where you can actually search for parking spots, like not necessarily the truck stops, but just individual parking lots. Maybe somebody's got a piece of land that they've got it set up so you can park trucks. And they've got it listed on the Trucker Tools app where you can go park, and you can pay on the app and park at the park spot in the parking lot. And it's different places all over the country, private owners that actually own property that want to help out the truckers. And that's what it's about. So go check them out. Trucker Tools, truckertools.com. That's downloaded from your app store, the Trucker Tools, the app for truckers. We appreciate everybody doing that. So we're making sure everybody reminded that you go to regulations.gov and make sure you comment on the proposed rulemaking for the speed limit devices. You know, they haven't really specified what speed they want to govern at, but some articles have speculated that it could be 60, could be 65, could be 68. They don't know. But it will be set, and they will require all trucks manufactured, like they haven't even picked a year, whether 2001, 2003, 2005. They don't even know. And they're saying, hey, any trucks manufactured after that will have to have a speed limit set, whatever we set it at, and it has to stay that way through the whole, as long as that truck is operating, it has to stay set like that. So that'll be the parameters. You know, Canada did this, and I don't even know how it's working out up there. I don't know. Anybody up there know? I don't know. I don't go to Canada, so I couldn't tell you. But yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, what's going to happen? You know, if it was really about safety, then I would say, you know, screw trying to tell everybody that if you have an older truck, it's okay. You could still be out there on the road. Doesn't have to be set because there's no way to set it, and that's okay. You're exempt. I would say no. If it's really about safety, then those trucks aren't allowed to be on the highway no more. If going too fast, if not having a governor is unsafe, then any vehicle that does not have a governor should not be allowed on the road, right? That makes sense to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm a moron when it comes to that. But it makes sense to me that if you think that safe operation means limiting the speed of vehicles, then every vehicle needs to be speed limited, and any vehicle that cannot be speed limited needs to be off the highway. I mean, that makes sense, right? You know, my whole factor is that there was a time where I had to do the sleep machine. The apnea machine, the CPAP machine, they made me do that. And the only reason they made me do that is because they said, well, you're a very large person. You know, I think I'm 6'3", and at that time I was like a little over 300. I might have been like 312, something like that. And they said, well, do you have any problem sleeping? I said, no. do you ever stop breathing in your sleep? Well, I don't think I do, but I never have any problems. Like I sleep, I wake up, I get tired, I go to sleep. When I'm not tired, I don't sleep, you know, and all that. And they said, well, do you ever like sit and fall asleep? Like, and I said, no, unless I'm sitting, not doing anything or not having a task, then I don't, then I can sleep. But if not, then no, I stay awake. And they go, well, you may not have any kind of symptoms or show signs of sleep apnea, but because you're a bigger person, we're going to make you take the test. And the test isn't a sleep study where you go stay in your, you know, in a hospital overnight and they hook you to all these probes and they monitor your sleep under, you know, experts, like a sleep clinic. You don't do that. It's a little machine that it's kind of like a little tablet that they strap around your chest, two wires coming out of it. One is hooked to your finger. The other one is wrapped around your face, hooked up into your nose. So that's the two wires coming out of it. It's battery operated. And it's running off of, like, I think, three or four AA batteries. I know this because when they sent it to me, the batteries were dead. So how do you – you don't even know if it works or not when you send it to me. And they said, well, you can send it back and we can send you another one, or you can replace the batteries and we'll just reimburse you. I said, no. How about I buy new batteries, I put the batteries in it, it works, and then before I send it back to you, I take the batteries out. And then they say, well, that could erase the memory. Well, then what? You know, the thing don't even work. Okay. So first off, the first time I did it was in a hotel room and I don't even think I did it right. And in fact, I woke up during the night and it fell off. It came off. It was like laying on the side to my side. You know, it wasn't even attached to me. So the next morning I turned it in like I'm supposed to, and they come back the next afternoon. Now here's the funny thing. So I'm in the orientation. Right. And I'm having the meeting and everything, and they're passing out fuel cards and IDs and all that. Well, I didn't get my ID. And I said, why didn't you get? Well, you need to call the people. So I called the lady in charge of the sleep study. And she says, well, you've been found to have sleep apnea. So I need to come in and talk to you. We need to give you the machine. Oh, okay. So then later on the day, they were still passing out fuel cards and IDs and all that. And I still didn't have my ID. They said, well, you need to call. And I had already talked with the sleep apnea lady, got my stuff, signed the papers. Everything's good. They said, well, we haven't got your ID yet because you need to call the doctor that gave you your physical. They need to talk to you. So the lady, I talked to the nurse, and they said, well, the doctor hasn't signed off on your physical yet because the sleep study needs to come back. And I said, well, wait a minute now. The sleep study already came back because I just talked to a nurse a little bit ago who I signed a paper and she gave me all my stuff. So who did that? And they're like, well, that's done by the doctor. But the doctor, you say the doctor hasn't signed my physical yet. So how does he know? Nobody's talking to each other, right? But apparently I have sleep apnea and not one person, not even the doctor that has supposedly signed off on my physical has seen that and has assessed that, but I have my machine, and the nurse that gave me the machine said, you have sleep apnea. Wait a minute now. I thought, who said that? The doctor? Well, come to find out, when they do these studies, they send them off to some clinic in New York where there's an actual like sleep expert, like the doctor that is in charge of diagnosing sleep apnea. He's just sitting at a desk looking at the results. And he's like, yeah, that one. And then sends his recommendation to the doctor that did your physical. The doctor then is supposed to sign off on whether you get. Well, he didn't do that, but I still got my machine. So who's doing all this? So anyway, I worked real hard to get off the machine. I did that again, did it, and got off the machine. Okay, so I did that. But during the process is I'm saying that's not right because I should have an actual doctor sign off on it and everything. And they're like, you can't work unless you sign this here. Well, everybody in the room were like, just take the machine because when you use it, you're going to sleep better. I said, well, by that argument, everybody should have a machine. Not just people with sleep apnea, but maybe people without sleep apnea should have, if it makes you sleep better. You know, because I don't have a problem sleeping. I sleep great. In fact, when I had the machine, the requirement was I had to wear the machine for at least 4 hours a day. I'd put it on, sit there for 4 hours, and doze off, wake up, doze off, wake up. And then after the 4 hours, I took it off, slept like a baby through the whole night, the rest of the night, which was 5 or 6 hours because I was dog tired because I didn't sleep very well with the thing on my face. So, yeah. Same thing with the speed limit thing. I don't know. That's my Friday rant, right? But that's how I see it. That's all I got to say about that. But other than that, let's see what we're doing. Boom, boom, boom. Let's keep on going. There we go. So, yeah, don't forget to go check out truckertools.com. We appreciate all their support. Redneckanize.com is our website. Please go subscribe to our YouTube channel. Appreciate that. And if you'd like to see me rant more, you know, watch those videos and comment on them. Let me know. But we're here every weekday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. If you're part of the conversation, just hit 1 and just hang tight. This is Redneck and Eyes Radio.
Me and my boys got this rig on wound, and we'll come 1,000 miles from a guitar case. Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kinda just hang around. But I heard someone call my name one day, and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Jap guitar. I'm smoking in a Texas with a hammer down, and a rockin' little combo from a guitar down. Hey, pretty baby, don't you know it ain't my fault? Love to hear the steel bell thumping on the asphalt. Wake up in the middle of the night in a truck stop, stumble in a restaurant, wonder why I don't stop. Well, I gotta keep rocking while I still can. Got a two-pack habit and a motel 10. When my boots hit the boards, I'm a brand new man. With my back to the rising, make my stand. Hey, pretty baby, won't you hold me tight? I'm loading up and rolling out of here tonight. One of these days I'm gonna settle down and I'll take you back with me to the guitar town.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and Eyes, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Somebody's been shot, somebody's been abused, somebody blew up a building, somebody stole a car, somebody got away, somebody didn't get too far. Yeah.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is it with Redneck and Eyes Radio. We're here live. It's every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. We also do a Sunday show. It'll be at 7 p.m. Eastern time as well. It's 2 hours longer, a little laid back, more, you know, what's going on out there and chit-chatting and ranting and raving. And here we just kind of try to get what's going on out there and just get on with our day because I got to go to work after this. So we try to get things done and try to get the word out to everybody as more often as we can because it's a big deal. Don't forget Wednesdays, same time, 515-602-9731 is the phone number. And on Wednesdays, it's the Women of Redneck and Eyes, and that's a great thing. We're doing that. It's more interacting with the women in the trucking industry because just some people, you know, some people like that. And that's great. And I, you know, to me, I think they're much smarter than I am. They actually, you know, get more involved in what's going on out there and just have more information about different things going on with the individual drivers. And, you know, they don't really look at the overall big, like, you know, national stories because there's so much going on locally. And it's like, that's the more focus. And I'm like, you know what? You're right. We got to focus on that. They were talking about Wednesday. They were talking about rest areas closing down and some of them they were getting redone and need to be revamped and all that. And I was like, man, that's awesome. I need to look into that, some of that stuff. But what I started talking about all week and been talking about is going to regulations.gov and commenting on the speed limiting devices, and that kind of thing. So, you know, we'll talk about that more. But before I go any further, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and it's LTR, Load to Ride Transportation, LTR Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. And that's a great, it's a good size. I mean, they're busy over there, and they got a lot of trucks, new equipment, lots of trailers. They do they've got like lift gates. They got refrigerated units and all that kind of good stuff. They do hazmat and expedited and everything. And you can give them a call, actually. It's 720-277-0030. And like I said, LTR Transportation, that's the website. And it's Load to Ride Transportation. When you go talk to them, make sure you appreciate their support and recognize, because we really do appreciate them. That's ltrtransportation.com, Load to Ride Transportation. And we appreciate all their support. So one of the other things that's been going on this week that I actually have submitted my resume and my interest in doing the Truck Leasing Task Force. Now, I don't know if I'll be qualified. I don't know. I mean, they're looking for people that are interested, that meet the criteria, should apply. And, of course, what they're looking for, they encourage diverse, non-traditional representatives, especially women and people of color. Now, my theory is that I represent non-traditional. Like, traditional to me would be like lawyers or scientists, you know, or business owners, maybe like, you know, owner of a carrier or some kind of lawyer that does it. But here's the list that says if you're part of a labor organization, you know, or you're a motor carrier that provides lease purchase agreements to owner operators, a consumer protection group. I think Redneck and I might fall into that consumer protection group. An attorney specializing in consumer finance issues, including experiences with lease purchase agreements. And this is the one that I like, is an owner-operator in the trucking industry experience with lease purchase agreements. Now, that's me, because I've done that. I've done the lease purchase. I've been an owner-operator. And Redneck and I's, I mean, we represent, to me, the whole group of Redneck and I's, like the founders and the members that are constantly helping us out, they all fit this criteria because they are all business owners. And then, of course, if you're a business that provides or is subject to lease purchase agreements in the trucking industry, and then what they want you to do is they want you to submit a letter of your expressing your interest and qualifications, and then a resume of your work experience, and then, of course, a letter of recommendation. And I did all of that. So hopefully that'll go through. Today was the deadline. It says the application period has been extended for 1 week through Friday, May 13th, 2022. To apply, please email the following materials. And then it's TLTF@DOT.gov. So hopefully that'll go through. I don't know when all that's going to start, but, you know, hey, throw my hat in the ring. I'd love to talk to them. I just love to be a fly on the wall and see who all is there and who's all doing most of the talking, and the people that are in charge, who are they listening to, you know, and what do they have in mind? Me, personally, my opinion, if I was on that committee and they asked what should happen, what changes should be made to the industry to help with lease purchase, mine is one simple rule change. And that rule change is that if you are in a lease purchase, okay, doesn't matter. If you are in a lease purchase and all these rules that apply to these lease purchases, where either you can't own the truck outright, which means you have to turn it in and get a new truck every so often. You can't take the truck anywhere else and work for any other company. You can't have any authorization to work any other load boards like an owner-operator can, you know, depending on those circumstances. Or you have to abide by any of their policies when it regards to the truck, whether like where you get it worked on, who pays for the oil changes, you know, what kind of services had to be done to it, what kind of modifications can or can't be done to it. If those criteria are all have not been released, where the driver should be able to take the truck wherever they want. They should be, if they're in a lease purchase, they should be able to run under any authority they want. That's owning a truck. That's actually buying a truck. Okay. And that means that the person that's giving you the truck to lease is okay with you running for a different company. Okay. Cause we know that's not true in most cases, right? Once you enter into the lease, there is eventually an option to where you can own the truck, which means that after the end of 3 or 5 years, however it is, there's some kind of balloon payment with an option to buy, or the lease is just paid off, you know, zero owed after a certain time. But once the truck reaches a certain age limit, you have to turn it in, you know, or you can't, you know, or you have to take the truck and leave the company. The company won't let you operate, you know. So you got to be able to keep the truck. You cannot be forced to turn that truck in once the truck gets a certain age. They're not going to take the truck from you and force you to get a new truck. Also, you should be able to go get the truck worked on wherever you want. And you should be able to run, you know, even under the authority, if the carrier participates. Okay, now this is one of the things that a lot of people don't understand. You know, a lot of these carriers, yeah, they have their own system where they operate, where if you're an owner operator, at least to this carrier, that carrier is going to give you the loads. Where do they get those loads? Do they get them from a broker? Do they get them from somebody? Do they get them from a load board? Do they get them, you know? You should be able to have the option of going after the load just like they do, you know, as an owner-operator. And you can have that option. I'm not saying you have to do it. I'm just saying you have that option. Just like taking the truck somewhere else, you have that option. Just like getting your truck worked on wherever you want. You can use their programs. If they've got a program, if they've got a set schedule that they want you to follow, you can follow it, but you're not going to be violating the lease agreement if you don't follow it. So if this criteria is kept where they force you to get rid of the truck after a certain amount of time, they won't let you take it anywhere else, they won't let you let it get worked on anywhere else, and they won't let you haul freight for whoever you want. Those things are not met, then you are not an owner-operator, which means they have to give you a W-2. They cannot 1099 you. And you are an employee, not a contractor. That is the rule. You cannot be a lease purchase and technically be a contractor unless you are actually a contractor, which means that you come and go as you please, and you contract them the work. Once the work is done, you're no longer a contractor. So each load is a contract, and you have signed an agreement to operate under their authority as long as you are under that contract. Once the contract is done, once you finish the load, the time that you are not hauling freight, you are not under that contract. And so you should be able to do what you want. So as a contractor, they can 1099 you for each load you do. They require you to do all this other stuff in between the loads. Then you are an employee. And I guarantee you either the lease purchase will change or they will stop doing it altogether, because that is one of the biggest benefits to the carrier for owner-operators for lease purchase, is that they don't have to pay Social Security tax. They don't have to pay benefits. Once you become an owner-operator, once you become technically a contractor with a 1099, you no longer get benefits. They have insurance that you can buy. They take it out, just like if you were, you know, in like a lot of places, they don't have to provide you with, you know, they have to provide benefits, but you pay for them. But again, look at that, because it might be cheap, it might not be. That's one of the things that a lot of people fall under, is like, yeah, they've got benefits for owner-operators, but it's twice as much as if you're a company driver, because you're not required to do that. You're not required, you know, they're not required to have it, to provide it. So it can be a little more expensive. But that is one of the main issues. I don't know if people outside of the trucking industry understand that the reason why lease purchases are done more often is so that they don't have to consider you as an employee, and they don't have to pay your taxes. They don't have to pay your benefits or provide them. You know, it can be an option. And the other thing that they like doing is they like taking a $60,000, $70,000 truck and selling it to you for $150,000. That's what they like to do too. That's one of the things. But, you know, that's about making money. And if you went to a bank, they'd do the same thing, you know. So that's never going to change because – but at least the bank knows that you're going to take it wherever you want. You are considered to be, you know, owning the truck, even if it's considered a lease through the bank. It's you can take it somewhere else, you know, and all that. So it's and that's all different. We can talk about that. But I tell you, one of the biggest reasons is they don't have to do a W-2. They can just send you a 1099. That's one of the biggest reasons. And it's all those rules that they have, where you know they can control it. They can tell you, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to get it serviced here, you have to haul the loads that we haul, or, you know, and it's one of those things where I'm an owner-operator. I remember I used to work for Swift, and Swift was a big owner-operator company. They had lots of owner-operators, and a lot of those owner-operators, they were acting like owner-operators, where they would say, no, I don't want that load, it's too heavy. I don't want that load, it's not going to El Paso. I don't want that load. It's going up north. I don't want to go north. I don't want to look that low. It's going to California. I don't want to go to California. They would act that way. And a lot of the people that worked at Swift that in the office were like, that's fine. You know, I'll help you out. I won't give you those loads. The problem was, is according to the contract, Swift didn't have to do that. If you refused a load because you didn't want to go there or it was too heavy, they could actually terminate your contract. They could actually tell you, park the truck, turn the keys, get the hell out of here. They could do that because that's not one of the stipulations. And, you know, you as an owner-operator, you as a lease purchase owner-operator were like, that's my truck. I can do what I want. Well, technically, if you looked at the lease, that's not true. They were just appeasing to you because they need drivers, you know, and they were kissing your butt. But the contract said that they could tell you to hit the road if you were doing that. So it's one of those things where, you know, if you were lease purchase and they told you to hit the road, well, your payments are made, but you just didn't want to follow their rules, but you were making the payments. See, just like at the bank, if you were, it didn't matter what you were doing with the truck, as long as you were making the payments, they didn't care who you were hauling freight for. They didn't care where you were going, as long as you were making the payments. So to me, the lease purchase as well, as long as the lease agreement has to do with making the payments and nothing more, then we can talk about them being a contractor, but when there's so many strings attached to working for the company and then having a lease, you know, it's like we can cancel that lease because you took 4 days off instead of three. We can cancel that lease because you parked, you know, in a non-parking, and you know, you parked in a place that got the truck towed. We can take the lease away. We can make you lose the truck. You can lose the truck. And it's like the bank. The bank doesn't care as long as you're making the payments. So that's one of the big stipulations too. But anyway, there is a task force now that's going to be started. And like I said, I've thrown my hat in the ring, so we'll see what happens. And if you want to do that as well, go in there. It's fmcsa.dot.gov/TLTF. And that is where this link is to this deal here where it's talking about the truck lease task force and the you need like a letter expressing your interest and qualifications to serve on the committee, a letter of recommendation, and a resume with your work experience on it. And you fax or you email all of that to tltf@dot.gov. And you do that and then that'll happen. So we'll see what happens on that. And hope for the best, right? It's all fine and dandy. But yeah, that's what we're doing there. Like I said, and I hope everybody is having a great night out there. We got about 10 minutes left. I think that we're going to go ahead and move along, and let's see what we're doing here. There we go. So, like I said, don't forget to go check out one of our sponsors. That's LTR Transportation, at Load to Ride Transportation, ltrtransportation.com. Or you can give them a call at 720-277-0030. And like I said, let them know you appreciate them supporting Redneck and I. It's a great little trucking outfit out of Denver, Colorado. So check out our website, redneckandis.com. All the links to our sponsors are on the website. And also our YouTube channel, please go subscribe, share, watch all our videos, share, like, all that good stuff. We appreciate all their support. And so just hanging tight here. It's Redneck and I's Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I's, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reasons I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and I's Radio. We're here live. We're live here every weekday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're also on Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time for a good 2 hours. You know, it's kind of just kicking back, what's going on, you know, that kind of thing. You know, and here we're just trying to get more content out to everybody, provide some, you know, common interest stories or news, what's going on and everything. And we're just talking about life on the road, all things trucking and then some. That's what it's all about. So go check out our website, redneckandnives.com. Well, I think one of our great – well, you know what? We'll just think of all of our great sponsors right now, and that's DPF Regeneration. Check them out at dpfregeneration.com. And also you can give them a call at 800-634-3010. And I also got Trucker Tools. You can check them out at the app when you download your apps on your smartphone, or also truckertools.com. That's the website. And also, last but not least, it is Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltr.com. transportation.com, or give them a call at 720-277-0030. And we appreciate all the sponsors for all the great support. Like I said, all the links to those sponsors are also on our website, redneckandnives.com. And remember, when everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, then you got to redneckandnives. So like I said, we're just winding down. We got about 6 minutes left on the show, and then I got to get to work. So that's the way things are going. You know, the diesel prices are just going up. I guess yesterday was top dog, and then today's top dog, and they keep going up, and they're saying that the East Coast is actually running out of diesel faster than everybody else. It says why the Northeast is quietly running out of diesel. This is on FreightWaves.com. It said the East Coast sees record lows of diesel inventories. It says the East Coast of the U.S. is reporting its lowest seasonal diesel inventory on record. And some trucking companies appear typically stores around 62 million barrels of diesel during the month of May, according to the Department of Energy data. But as of last Friday, that region, the U.S. is reporting under 52 million barrels of barrels. So that's only 10 million less. And there's, you know, 62 million is normal. And now it's 52. I mean, come on. You know, seriously. The sharp increase of diesel prices has been a major stressor of the America's $800 billion trucking industry since the beginning of 2022. According to the DOE figures, the price per gallon of diesel has reached record highs, a whopping $5.62 per gallon. It's even higher on the East Coast at $5.90, up 63% from the beginning of the year. When relief is coming isn't yet clear. Experts say higher prices are the only way to extract more diesel into the Northeast. A lot of people say that they're taking diesel and they're sending it to Europe or they're taking oil and sending it to Europe, or it might be diesel. It might be already refined, diesel, natural gas, whatever they need, because they used to get it straight from Russia, you know, because that's where Europe was getting all their stuff. You know, Europe is one of those places where they claim we are into clean energy. We don't do any kind of nuclear, or we don't do drilling, or we don't do any kind of that stuff. We're clean, but we import everything else. And that's what the U.S. is starting to do. They don't let us drill. They shut all that stuff down, start importing it. They, you know, when everything started going crazy and the gas prices started rising, there were reports that the president's administration was calling up Saudi Arabia and Venezuela and said, hey, can you start making more gas for us? We need more gas. We need oil. And I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know, we're not drilling for it. And you would think that we'd be drilling for it since the prices are up. But I guess we are. I don't know. We're just not getting it fast enough. It says, I wish I had some good news for the Northeast, but it's bad. Tom Kluza, global head of energy analysis at OPIS, told FreightWaves, says every day Americans don't fill up their cars with diesel, but the fuel powers our nation's agriculture, industrial, and transportation networks. More expensive diesel means the price of everything is liable to increase. Trucks, trains, barges, and consumed had 120 million gallons of diesel per day in 2020. Well, yeah. And talking about it on here, more people are tweeting about it, saying they got messages about how there's no diesel. Pilot Flying J and Loves, two of America's largest truck stops, told the Wall Street Journal yesterday that they were not planning to restrict diesel purchases, but were monitoring low diesel inventory. Not unlike every other supply chain crunch we've been seeing in the past few years, that caused the Northeast diesel shortage is a multifaceted, a year-long degradation of refineries rubbing against the Gulf Coast, preferring to ship its oil to Europe and Latin America. So, and it's kind of definitely a breakdown. You know, FreightWaves, I have to hand it to you. They get very technical. And if you got time to sit down here and read all that stuff, I mean, I guess you could. A lot of times, too, it's a lot of gobbledygook. You know, it's like doublespeak, you know, and a lot of it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, is it yes or no? Just give me yes or no. You know, this coulda, woulda, shoulda crap. When I read stuff and they still hadn't answered the question, doesn't make any sense to me why they do that. But that's the way it works. Okay, so that's going to wrap it up then. Like I said, watch out for the diesel prices out there. Everybody stay safe and watch out for that. But until next time, let's see here. There we go. So, yeah, just like I said, we're going to wind it down. Like 90 seconds left, like she said. That's on our Blog Talk Radio. That's at 515-602-9731. Don't forget to call in. Every show we do, it's on this Blog Talk Radio. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/redneckandeyes, and that should get you to our channel, Redneck and Eyes Radio. And we should have a link to that on our website as well. We'll make sure that happens. But redneckandeyes.com is one of the deals. We'd like to think of our great sponsors as DPF Regeneration, dpfregeneration.com, Trucker Tools at truckertools.com, and Load to Ride Transportation at ltrtransportation.com. Everybody go check those out. That's it. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. And until next time, everybody, stay safe, stay successful, keep between the ditches, and we'll see you out there on the road.